What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. But before we go on, we have a guest appearance. I don't know who this is. Oh, wait, never mind. That's Nat.
Yeah, it's me.
Sorry, I didn't recognize
different,
you. I didn't
different recognize look, you. Yeah. Different look for the season, you know?
Yeah.
Different look for the wintertime. Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I could see that.
Keep your upper lip a little warm there.
Yeah, keep that upper lip warm.
Thank God this is an audio podcast.
All right, guys. So let's jump right into it, right? There was a couple of things that came out within the past week in regards to this past NBA season, the 2019-2020 NBA season. I don't know if you guys saw in regards to what Pat Riley said. You know, there's some miscommunication there. Basically, he said that there should be an asterisk next to the season because his team basically wasn't fully healthy. But he clarified. He said, you know, the Lakers were very deserving, rightfully so. They are the well-deserved NBA champions. What he was referring to is putting an asterisk on his team, because he thinks that if the Miami Heat were fully healthy, it would have gone to at least a game 7. So very quickly, with that in mind, just on what Pat Riley was referring to, do you think if Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo were fully healthy, do you think it would have gone 7 games? Yes or no? Nat?
Well, I mean, are we talking about like like how the series turned out, or like just like naively speaking without any games
played
beforehand?
Let's just say making it to a game 7, not necessarily the turnout, but just making it to a game 7. Like it would have been a more competitive series. Do you think it would have gone 7 games
without knowing about how the series turned out in real life?
Yes.
Like just,
yes.
Okay. Honestly, no, I don't think so, because the Lakers swept all the teams before them in 5 games. So that was a pattern that I think would have been upheld in the finals, like Lakers in 5. That's kind of what I saw from the beginning. Even if Bam and Guan were healthy, that's what I thought.
What about you, Lawrence? Do you think it would have gone 7, or do you think it would have still been 6 games?
Well, I think it would have still been 6 games. To be fair, we got to say that it shouldn't have even gone 6 games. It should have been done in 5. Danny Green makes that shot. But I don't. It definitely not 7.
See, of course, I'm going to come off as biased being a Miami Heat guy. But I truly do believe it would have gone 7 games, only because, yes, you had an outstanding performance by Jimmy in game 3. You know, the battle between Jimmy and LeBron in game 5. But not having a healthy Bam Adebayo, we saw him in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he completely dominated the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, double-double each and every game, and, you know, he was a force to be reckoned with. We didn't see that version of Bam. You have Goran Dragic, who was your leading scorer for the Miami Heat, coming into the NBA Finals. He was averaging 20-plus points a game. You did have Bam come back, but I think both of you would agree with me, it was not the Bam that we're used to seeing. And you can make arguments, you know, it was the defense of the LA Lakers, what have you. But clearly, you know, I saw it even in the Celtics series that he was hurt, that left arm, I know like they were saying it was his neck, but his left arm did not look good to me. I don't know what it was. He was always holding it, you know, running back down on defense or whatever the case may be. But I feel like if they were both healthy, you have what Goran Dragic is able to do in the pick and roll. I don't know if eventually the Lakers would have figured it out, but he does so much in that pick and roll that could have given Bam way more than what he was producing in the finals. You know, he was barely breaking double digits in points, but you add a Goran Dragic and what he's able to create off of pick and roll, being able to spread the floor. We saw what he did to the Bucks. We saw what he did to the Celtics. Those aren't, you know, chump teams. Like, those are legitimate teams. You know, those were tough teams. I'm not saying the Lakers aren't tough, but I think Miami would have given them a different look, something that they would have to prepare for differently. Now, do you get those, you know, 40-point games from Jimmy Butler? Definitely not. You know, if you have those two guys healthy, it would probably been a more balanced offense.
Yeah, for sure.
also, you know, I know Kendrick Nunn had a big game five, but for him to come off the bench and fill in for Goran Dragic, you could tell it was like night and day. You know, you couldn't compare the two. Same thing with trying to replace Bam for those games that he was missing. Of course, like Kelly Olynyk went off. But at the end of the day, it's just a different dynamic. I know I'm being biased. I don't care. I think it would have gone at least seven.
But they have won that game seven?
So moving on. you know what? Yes. I think, you know, being a true Miami Heat fan, oh, I definitely think they would have.
Might as well carry it home. Might as well carry it home to say that. Yeah.
Might as well go big or go home, you know? I think Miami would have won. But talking about asterisks, right?
Mm-hmm.
My main question is, does this season, not necessarily the finals, but does this season deserve an asterisk? Now, one of the things I like to do is I like to get historical on our listeners, on you guys. So I just want to quickly go over, you know, there were six previous NBA seasons that had an asterisk next to it. I'll just quickly go through those seasons. The first one was the 2001-2002 season. With the Western Conference Finals between the LA Lakers and the Sacramento Kings, you guys were still really young. I remember this like it was yesterday. I had the Sacramento Kings making it to the NBA Finals that year. But there was some really interesting... it's the semifinals. So whoever would have won would have gone to the Conference Finals. NBA Finals. But there were some really interesting calls, you know, really interesting officiating in that series overall, where it was kind of, you know, we make jokes here and there on this show where it's like, this is what the NBA wanted, right? The NBA created the bubble for Zion Williamson. You know, the NBA wanted the LA Lakers to win. I'm just kidding. But that particular season, everybody knows that the Sacramento Kings were the team to beat. And if it weren't for a couple interesting calls, they very well may have made it to the NBA Finals. Another season that had an asterisk was the 2011-2012, in which Miami won their first championship with the Big Three. The reason this one had an asterisk was because, number one, it was during a lockout season. So the season started, like, you know, around Christmas time. So it was a shortened season. You guys, you know, the players had, there were more freak injuries, one namely being Derrick Rose, who missed the entire playoffs. He was coming off an MVP season. Everybody thought that the Bulls were going to make it to the NBA Finals and beat the Miami Heat Big Three. But Miami makes their way. They make it to the NBA Finals. Same thing with the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, that young group of Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. I think a lot of people had the Spurs making it that year, but the Thunder ended up beating them. And partially because they're young, they got fresh legs, they could run for days. So there was an asterisk next to that season. 2006-2007, the Suns lose the Western Conference semifinals to the San Antonio Spurs. There was an altercation that broke out. Robert Horry checks Steve Nash into the announcer's table, and some players come off the bench. They didn't really do anything. They weren't going to get into a fight, but those players ended up getting suspended for the next game, namely Amari Stoudemire, who at the time was part of the Big Two for the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like the Sacramento Kings, that 2006-2007 Suns team, arguably one of the best in the NBA that year. You know, they definitely would have made it to the finals, probably would have won it. Number three on this list that I have by Bleacher Report, by the way, is the 77-78 Washington Bullets. They win after Bill Walton, legend, you know, UCLA, Portland Trailblazer. Mm-hmm. He was injured, hurt his foot, big injury that hurt them. So people felt like that was an asterisk because if he was healthy, it would have been a different outcome. Another one is the 98-99 San Antonio Spurs. They win by only playing 67 games. That was another lockout season. They make it all the way to the NBA Finals. Timmy Duncan's first NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people were speculating. The New York Knicks made it all the way. I'm sorry, Lawrence. For people who don't know, Lawrence is a big Knicks fan. But I don't think they deserved to be there. And they ended up losing. They ended up losing to the champion, eventual champions, the San Antonio Spurs. And then the last one is 93-94. This one had an asterisk because the Houston Rockets win the NBA championship. A lot of people know this, especially if you watch the Last Dance documentary.
Yeah.
They won because the Chicago Bulls did not make it to the NBA Finals because they were missing one GOAT.
Oh, God.
Michael Jordan.
Was playing back then?
No. Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Michael Jordan, after you know the death of his father, decided to retire from basketball to pursue baseball.
Right.
So that season, the Bulls ended up losing to the Orlando Magic, who went on to the finals. The Magic ended up losing to the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
2019-2020, does this year deserve an asterisk, Lawrence?
I do. I really do.
Why do you think it deserves an asterisk?
Well, if you think about it, right, at the time that the pandemic started, there were certain players that were injured, right? Teams that had certain hot streaks going, teams that ended up in the playoffs this year, that they were not like they were on the decline. And then ended up in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of gave everyone a fresh start to the season, right? It gave people time to heal up their players, get healthy, and even get like a rest. It was kind of like a brand new start to the season where everyone can go 100 miles per hour.
Right.
And it's just not the same season.
What about you, Annette?
Agree 100%. I mean, like the criteria of a season is, you know, 82 games. You got fans in the stands, you're traveling, you know, away from home to, you know, play these games. And obviously the bubble wasn't that, you know, they were in one place the whole time, got 5 months rest beforehand. So, you know, people like LeBron who are like 30 plus years old, got the rest that they needed to really, you know, change the outcome of their season. So while I do, you know, appreciate LeBron and Lakers winning the championship, it does, and the season too, have an asterisk.
See, like, I agree. I feel like the season deserves an asterisk. You know, for different reasons. There was a long layoff, you know, especially when lockdown happened, you know, all NBA play was suspended for what, 3-4 months. But the thing that stands out to me the most is that when bubble play resumed, you know, the NBA season resumed, yes, you have players coming off really good rest, but at the same time, it was a very different dynamic. You have guys that are in a bubble, and like you hear some players, you know, now that the season's over, they kind of come out and they talk about how difficult it was physically and mentally playing in a bubble. You know, you didn't have the luxuries of after a tough loss going home, you know, spending time with family, or after a great win going out with the team celebrating. It was kind of the opposite. Like, you just go back to your hotel room, like that's it. You know, like you beat you know, you have a really high intensity, amazing game, you know, two guys dueling it out, battling. And instead of just going home, you know, to their separate towns or cities, what have you, they see each other in the hallway or in the elevator. Like, it's kind of weird.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird dynamic to be in. Physically, I feel like it was a benefit to a lot of the players because you didn't have travel, you didn't have, you know, lack of sleep or, you know, lack of recovery. You had plenty of time to recover in the sense that you didn't have to travel far. Or if you're one, you know, King James, you have one of those, you know, what is it? Like those chambers that help you recover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like the other reason why I feel like there should be an asterisk is because mentally it was really tough on people. You didn't have the freedom to go and do what you wanted. You were confined to a certain area. You couldn't go eat out at your favorite places. Like, yes, they had food. You know, I was listening to some other podcasts where, like, they had food, but it was the same stuff every night.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine for 95 days, you're eating the same stuff over and over and over again. Like, I feel like it's enough to drive anybody crazy. And on top of that, I feel like, this season deserves a asterisk because it's the first time in NBA history where not only do you have a pandemic, something that's claiming the lives of, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, it's also in the middle of, you know, social injustice.
Right.
These players who, in a lot of ways, they're affected themselves. Maybe they know somebody. Maybe, you know, they themselves experience social injustice. To come to the NBA bubble and use their platform to create change, but then there's still instances where that change wasn't happening, you know, so that again, mentally it's tough.
It was tough. Yeah.
I do believe that this season does deserve an asterisk next to it, but mainly because Miami was injured and
there goes that bias again.
Definitely. But with that said, you know, that's the 2019-2020 NBA season. As we approach and get ready for the 2020-2021 NBA season, the biggest topic going around right now is the start date. Mm-hmm. We're hearing different things. We're hearing Christmas Day, or around Christmas, we're hearing, you know, MLK Day, February, March even.
Yeah.
So my question to you guys, Lawrence, does the start date, let's say right now, the one that we've been hearing the most is December 22nd. Does the December 22nd start date help or hurt the top four teams from the 2020 playoffs?
I mean, I think it can do nothing but, you know, hurt them, right? Here they were going back to the bubble, even though they were rested those 5 months, right? They're the ones that are putting their bodies on the line, right? They're working every day. They're in the gym. They're playing games, putting wear and tear on their body. And they usually have like a 4 to 5 month off season to recover their bodies. Right. And here they are having a 2 month off season. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've even saw, I think it was Danny Green. I saw a tweet by him or something saying, if we got a December start date, I'm still going to sit out. Like, he's just not going to play. Like, yeah. he still wants that time to be with his family. Like, they had to go to the bubble and they were taken away from their families. They couldn't see them, right? Imagine being torn away from them for, like, you see them, what? They had the 5 months together out of them, but like 7 months out of the year, you can't see them. Like, that's crazy to me, you know?
Yeah.
So it hurts them mentally. It hurts them physically. It just, I don't know, not good.
Well, what I've been hearing is that they're not going to do a bubble. It'll be in their arenas, but limited fans. Do you think that makes a difference? You know, do you think it still hurts them, you know, physically, mentally? Especially those top four teams.
Yeah. I mean, I think just physically, like, that's the huge thing, right? Like, you know, you can expect more injuries to happen. Because they don't get that time to recover their bodies.
I agree. What about you, Nat? What's your take on it?
Yeah, same here. I mean, you know, if they're accustomed to resting for a long period of time, but for this upcoming season, they're going to be back in like, what, 2 months? That's way, you know, that's not a comfortable spot to be in. You know, even Danny Green said that LeBron probably will sit out the first month. You know, that's what I heard from that tweet. So I think that, you know, that early start date, it's really going to help the NBA profits, but hurt the players. You know, they're really trying to find that sweet spot of placing the first day of the season in the spot where they can earn more money, or, you know, earn that loss they had from this season. But at the same time, hopefully help the players who were in the conference finals and the finals recover and, you know, get back to, you know, shape in a good amount of time. So,
you know, I feel like the NBA is in a really tough spot because you mentioned, you know, the money. Mm-hmm. The earlier they start, the more money they're more likely going to make. The later they start, of course, they're going to make less, which could affect free agency. It could affect, you know, like cap space.
Salary caps. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing is that let's see, in regards to those top four teams, to remind our listeners, the top four teams, from the playoffs were Miami, Boston, LA, the Lakers, and the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Out of those four teams, I think an earlier start date hurts the Lakers the most because the other three, you know, the Nuggets, the Heat, the Celtics, those are all young guys. You know, I'm pretty sure they could run it back.
Oh, true. Yeah.
But the Lakers, you have some veterans on the squad, like a LeBron James. You know, like, I'm sure, like, he would be there for practices and whatnot, but in terms of playing a full strength schedule, like, I don't know. You know, I feel like he's going to be resting a lot of games, you know, monitoring minutes and, you know, whatever the case may be. I think out of those four teams, that's who gets hurt the most is the Lakers. But you also have to take into account the NBA stopped in March. When they resumed, there was only 22 teams that went to the bubble. Out of those 22 teams that went to the bubble, only, you know, 16 of them made it to the playoffs. So if you're talking like the other teams, you're talking 16, there's 32 teams in the league. You have 16 who haven't played since, you know, July, basically. Half of them haven't played since March. So you're talking a long layoff for some of these guys.
Yeah.
That these guys are hungry. They want to play. They've been dying to play. I know for one is the Golden State Warriors. You know, they're fully healthy now. Plus, you know, they got a number two pick coming up. You know, let's see what they do. So I'm kind of excited as an NBA fan. As an NBA fan, would you want to see an earlier start date or a later start date?
Oh, man, that's tough.
I want to see an earlier start date just because I miss basketball. You know, I want Miami to run it back. Like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
But then again, like I don't want players to get hurt, though, starting too soon. You know, that's my fear.
Well, I think one of the things they're talking about doing is limiting the number of games. Maybe like a 50-game season or a 60-game season. Oh, and then the next season, right? Yeah. And then next season, go back to regular schedule. But then you're talking another asterisk season because, what I mean? But Lawrence, for you, would you rather see earlier or later?
Well, like, I want to see like the best competition possible, right? Like, if we're going to get an early start date, we're going to see some trash basketball. I don't want to be seeing that. Like, I can just go to the rec center and go watch these, you know, college kids and think they're NBA ready. Like, I want to see like the best competition possible. Like, give me that late start date. Give me like that New Year's, like, you know, 8 games or whatever. It's like a big fiesta.
I can see that. Talking about, you know, the 2020-2021 season, there have been some changes, especially with coaching around the league, right, for this upcoming season. So I just want to go into this segment, good fit, bad fit. I'm going to give you a scenario. I'm going to name you a coach and where they're at. You guys tell me if it's a good fit or a bad fit.
Okay.
So let's start with Nat for the first one. Stan Van Gundy is the coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. Good fit, bad fit?
I think good fit. I mean, I'm not really familiar with his coaching style, but I have heard that he's good defensively, you know, creating his defensive schemes. And that's what you need in a, you know, packed Western Conference. You need a good defensive team to beat the Lakers or the Clippers. So I think him coaching those youngins, you know, helping them get gritty defensively will be beneficial to the Pelicans. So good fit for me.
I think it's a good fit. Would have much rather seen Doc Rivers down there or D'Antoni, but he's a good fit. I think the Pelicans, like Nat was saying, they're good offensive team, but with Stan Van Gundy bringing in that defensive mindset, I think it'll be good, make them more well-rounded team.
I agreed. I said it was a good fit. Stan Van Gundy is known for his defensive schemes. Defense leads to offense. That offense could be extremely potent. You're talking Alonzo Ball, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram in the open court. That's going to be a high-flying team.
Yep.
You know, a lot fast breaks all day. A lot of lobs.
New Lob City.
New Lob City. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Just let those guys run. The other thing, too, that a lot of people don't realize, Stan Van Gundy's kind of an innovator. Look at the NBA that you have now, right? You have, take, for example, the Miami Heat or the LA Lakers. You have LeBron James penetrating, kicking out to three-point shooters. You have Jimmy Butler penetrating, kicking out to three-point shooters, right? Stan Van Gundy, a lot of people don't realize, firstly, one of his first head coaching jobs was for the Miami Heat. And his first season as a Miami Heat head coach, they made it to the playoffs, you know, with a rookie, Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. And then if you fast forward a couple of years, he became the head coach of the Magic, Orlando Magic. And what did he do? He had one big man, Dwight Howard, feed him inside. Yep. What did Dwight do? Kick it out to three-point shooters.
Yep.
So he was kind of a little bit ahead of his time in terms of the three-point shooting. You know, 3 points are worth more than two.
Yep.
You know, so to see what he does, I think it's a good fit. Okay, Lawrence, next one. Doc Rivers is now the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Good fit, bad fit?
Good fit. I think that's where I actually picked him to go. Doc Rivers, like I said, he's only managed super teams before with a lot of star power, and that's exactly what Philly has. They just needed a coach that will be able to bring out their full potential. And let's see if Doc Rivers can actually get it done and not choke in the playoffs this time.
What about you, Nat?
I'll keep it short. Good fit, but they're hopeless. Philly is hopeless. Whoa. I don't see them going to the conference finals at all, so they're hopeless.
Okay, so here's my take. I say Doc Rivers in Philly is a bad fit.
Whoa.
Why?
The reason why I say it's a bad fit is not him as a coach. I say it's him. It's the team. The team itself is just a bad team. Up and down that roster is a bad. I mean, on paper, you know, they got good names. It looks good, but it's just a bad fit. The other reason I say it's a bad fit is, you know, kind of breaking news over the last couple of days. Daryl Morey, who is the general manager of the Houston Rockets, is now the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers actually go back to the Boston days. Daryl Morey was the analytics guy for the Boston Celtics, the advanced metrics, which is what a lot of people look at nowadays. And Doc Rivers historically has not been a fan of advanced metrics. Proof of that is in his last stint with the LA Clippers. Advanced metrics came out and told him, you know, Montrezl Harrell, he's a liability when you put him on the court against the Denver Nuggets. What did he do? Kept Montrezl Harrell out there. What's his name? Lou Will. Statistics told him, you keep him out on the floor, he's going to be a liability. What did Doc do? Kept him out on the floor. So historically, Doc Rivers does not agree with advanced metrics. You know, he believes in his guys, which of course any good head coach would do. But when you have somebody like Daryl Morey, who's all about advanced analytics, you know, making changes to rosters, I don't think it's going to be a good fit. So we'll see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say is everywhere that Daryl Morey has been, there's always been two stars. When he came to Houston Rockets, it was Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady. A couple of years later, it was James Harden and Dwight Howard. And then after that, it was James Harden and Chris Paul. And then last season, it was James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
Daryl Morey is going to Philly, where you have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So we'll see how that plays out. That's probably the one positive in that situation. Next one, Nat. Ty Lue is now the head coach of the LA Clippers. Good fit, bad fit?
Oh, good fit. I mean, he was already their assistant head coach, so he already has kind of like a bond with the guys. I mean, yes, the Clippers do have some team chemistry problems that they have to fix out, but other than that, Tyronn Lue, he won't get pushed around as much as Doc Rivers probably was pushed around by them. Not pushed around, but like not taken seriously enough. So I think that he'll like rough him up and, you know, set him straight. So I think it's a good fit for Tyronn Lue.
What about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. I think he should have been the head coach, like, to begin with, of like any team. But like Nat was saying, discipline is a huge thing for them. Mm-hmm. If he was able to handle LeBron on that 2016 Cavs team, I think he'll be able to, you know, put them in their place and,
right,
you know, bring out their potential.
So I'm going to agree with you guys again. I said it's a good fit because of his personality. He doesn't take anything from anybody. He doesn't care who you are. He's going to tell you what you think, and he's going to run the team how he deems fit. I think it's a good fit, at least to get something out of that team, some type of chemistry, some type of cohesiveness to get them rolling. Okay, last good fit, bad fit. Lawrence, Steven Silas is now the head coach of the Houston Rockets. Good fit, bad fit?
I'm gonna have to go with a question mark.
Same.
I know it's not one of the answers, but I have no idea who this guy is.
Same.
I was like, who the hell is this guy? So we'll only time can tell.
Yeah, I'm gonna second that answer. So don't even ask me. I'm also a question mark too.
Okay, so I'll answer this one without a question mark. I said it's a good fit. Silas, he's known historically for working with great guards. He's worked with Steph Curry. More recently, for people who don't know, he was an assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks and has been credited by Luka Doncic himself for getting him to the level that he's at right now. He just has a way with guards. And to be working with a James Harden and a Russell Westbrook, if I'm not mistaken, I think even Russell Westbrook, you know, was really happy to have Silas as the head coach, was even vouching for him because of what he's able to do in terms of X's and O's for shooting guards. From what I've read and understood offensively, you know, the schemes that he comes up with, he's a wizard. So to have James Harden and Russell Westbrook with Silas as their head coach, I mean, I think we're going to see different looks that we haven't seen before. We're going to see numbers that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good fit overall. Able to do what he did with Luka Doncic, like how much more with Russ and James? Because I feel like MVPs. Russ has been in a slump. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think it's a great fit. So as we move on to the second half of our show, we're going to move on to the segment Hot Take. This is where I, along with Lawrence and Nat, will give you our hot take on certain topics. So the first hot take topic, Nat, the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
For the 2020-2021 season, should the Nets be favored to take the East?
Yes. 100,000,000,000,000% yes. First off, Giannis is trash. He's not trash, but that team is not going to go to the finals at all. Second of all, Philly's down the drain. Third, who else is there? Miami? And there. Nope. Who else?
Whoa.
All right. No. It's going to be a Nets and Heat conference finals next year. Mark my words about that. But the Nets with KD and Kyrie, they're strong chemistry together. Even though, yes, KD has, you know, coming off an injury, Achilles injury. I think that they're going to make it far, possibly even win it. I don't know. But coming out of the East, yes, I'm picking Brooklyn.
Okay, what about you, Lawrence?
I hate hearing this. Like, everyone thinks, like, you know, KD's going to come back and take the crown back. It's like, no, it's like, it doesn't work that way. But this man had an Achilles injury, right? Kyrie the diva over here. You know, he can't even stay healthy for the past 3 years, right? And he's like one of the big key like pieces for this team. So like, I don't want to hear this crap.
Whoa.
That like, oh, they're going to take back the East. Like, no.
Yes.
No.
Lawrence is fired up.
Still a very, there's, yeah. Like
the Celtics?
To be fair, one of my friends, he covers the Nets and he's always like talking up his Nets and like, no. But the Celtics, man, like they're up and coming. They just needed a few years of experience.
They've been to the conference finals every year for the past 3 years, and they couldn't seal the deal.
Yes, yeah, it's okay.
Nets got Dinwiddie, LeVert, who was going off against the Raptors in that one game. DeAndre Jordan. Who else they got there?
Jared Allen.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, him too. Who knows?
Man, you know, Lawrence is getting a little bit spicy in here.
That's a pure hot take. You know what? That's a pure hot take, yeah.
It was literally a hot take, yeah. But you know what? I'm actually going to have to side with Lawrence here.
Thank you.
Really? Oh, I mean, you are a Miami Heat loyal, so that kind of makes sense.
Oh, the bias.
I mean, not only that, but you know what? I said no because I feel like they have so much to prove chemistry-wise. It's so easy, you know, like you see like this love fest between KD and Kyrie right now, right? Like talking about how well they play together, how well they complement each other, mm-hmm. how well they push each other. To me, I feel like this is just the honeymoon phase.
Possibly.
We saw it in OKC. You had KD and Westbrook. Nasty combination. Look how that fizzled out. Then KD goes to the Warriors. And then all of a sudden there's drama between him and Draymond. And that fizzled out. Mm-hmm. And now you're talking about him and Kyrie. And like what Lauren said, Kyrie's known to be a bit of a diva. You know, he kind of...
Yeah, that's true.
He's a little bit over the top.
Me too.
You know what I mean? So how long does this last? You know, how long can they make it work? Will they make it work? Now, I'm certain that in the beginning, it'll be, you know, all fine and dandy. But when the going gets tough, who gets the blame? Where are the fingers going to be pointed at?
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, Lawrence alluded to it. KD is coming off an Achilles injury. Granted, it's been, you know, going on almost 2 years. It'll be like a year and a half when the season resumes. But, for example, Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe is one of the greatest of all time. And when he came back from his Achilles injury, yes, he was still putting up numbers. Yes, he was still producing, but it wasn't the same. He had to change his game up. You have DeMarcus Cousins, different skill set. I understand that. But he himself also was not the same player. Now, KD is a different animal. I feel like what he's able to do on the court, he doesn't need to be a dunker. He doesn't need to be a high flyer. This guy can launch from anywhere on the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like his game won't be as affected as a lot of people may think coming back from an injury. But I feel like it's too soon to tell. Like we have to see, let him get a couple games in.
Yeah.
But on top of that, lastly, I just want to talk about how you're already like if you want to favor the Nets, they have to go through the Bucks, the Heat, the Raptors, and the Celtics. Now, I understand, you know, Nat with his viewpoints, you know, like the Celtics, they've been there 3 years in a row. They never made it. That's 3 years in a row.
They're young.
The Nets barely make it to the playoffs, and now you're going to, like, okay, yes, with the addition of KD, Kyrie, let's see what happens. But at the end of the day, you have, for example, the chemistry and the bond of a Boston Celtics team. You know, that's going to be a tough out.
Yeah.
Okay, true.
I don't care, like, who you are. That's going to be a tough out. You have the Bucks. They've been together just as long, and they've been just as dominant the past couple of years. Uh-huh. Now, I understand, like, they have some flaws roster-wise. You know, they don't have that number two star that Giannis needs. But I feel like their size, they match up well against the Nets. You have DeAndre Jordan, you have you have Jared Allen. You have Giannis, you have the Lopez brothers, you know what I mean? You have your son Ilyasova. So I feel like size-wise, they're going to give you a battle. And then, of course, you have Miami. Miami's just, they're just gritty. Like, they're not the prettiest team. But they're just gritty. You know, I feel like this is going to be a hard out also. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to be the favorite in the East. Let's move on to the West. Do the Warriors bounce back, Lawrence? Do the Warriors come back and resume the glory that they once wore?
Yes, I do. I think the dynasty, like what? People said the dynasty. So as much as I hate to say this, like I've been like scared of the Warriors coming back. I'm sorry, Nat. I'm sorry, but they're going to be scary.
What?
Very, very, very scary team.
How?
So safe to say, I'm assuming Nat does not agree. I think he thinks, Nat, hell, what's your take?
Hell no. They're going to be.
Why?
They'll probably be like at most 8th seed.
8th seed?
Yes. 8th seed. Clay you know, probably won't be the same. They don't have KD anymore to, like, you know, carry them through like they did those, you know, 2 seasons. I mean, sure, there's Draymond Green, but I mean, hey, like he's getting old.
They got Wiggins, dude.
Wiggins is trash. and plus, their bench was never as good as that 2015 championship team. All right, after that, it was like,
all right, they also got a number 2 pick, man. Number 2 pick that they don't need that other teams need.
Okay, so let's say this Warriors team goes against. The Lakers, who have size and AD, Dwight and JaVale. They go against the Clippers, who have Kawhi, great defender, PG, great defender. They got Denver, Jokic, Murray, just stars that can score. The Jazz, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. There's just too much also, not just Lakers, but there's too much competition for them to like go through. I think you need, in the Warriors, you need that third guy, and it's not Draymond Green. Like, really? Like,
so my question was, do they bounce back, right? Not necessarily do they make it to the NBA Finals, but do they bounce back? I think, this might be a shock, but I also agree with Lawrence. I say the Warriors bounce back, and here's my reasons why. Barring injury, of course, I think they do bounce back. I think they make a deep run into the playoffs. The reason being is because they already have that chemistry. Number two, they've been there before. They've been in situations like this before. And I feel like out of all the teams in the NBA right now, they probably have the biggest chip in their shoulder because you went from 1 year being an NBA finalist to the following year being bottom of the entire league. Mm-hmm. So I know like how Draymond is, how Klay is, how Steph is. You guys are hungry. I know Steve Kerr is hungry. I feel like from top down, we talk about organizations being on the same page, like a Miami Heat, like a LA Lakers. I feel like these guys have always been this way. They've kind of set the standard for that. So I feel like they bounce back. And on top of that, it's what do they do in the draft? They could do a couple different things. They could trade that number 2 spot for some other veterans. You know, you could pair something up, maybe get rid of Andrew Wiggins, who I do think can be an asset to them. I kind of get like Harrison Barnes vibes from him
a little bit
in how they would use him. You know, I feel like he could step up defensively because a lot of people forget that Golden State is a very good defensive team. But let's say they stick with their number 2 draft pick and they draft James Wiseman if he's there. You're talking about an athletic big man who could do multiple things. We've seen that with an Anthony Davis. We've seen it with a Bam Adebayo. I feel like if any team, you know, would be a good fit for James Wiseman, it would be the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Because there's no pressure for him to produce right away. You're going to grow and you have the reliability of the Splash Brothers. So that's less pressure on him to be, you know, a franchise player. So I feel like the Warriors bounce back. I feel like they make a deep run. I just think a lot of people are sleeping on them.
You know, there's another point to that too. I want to add to
Yeah, right? Go ahead.
If you think about it, like you mentioned with KD having a year and a half off, Klay's going to have that year and a half off too, right?
Right.
Steph is going to have 9 months of that whole Warriors team. They didn't go to the bubble, right? All these top teams that you listed off, Nat, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Lakers, the Nuggets.
Yeah.
They were making deep runs in the playoffs. You know, they're still hurting. They're still trying to recover.
Okay.
These guys, they're healthy. They can go full steam when they start the season back up. And these top teams, they're going to be resting their players. Oh, the Warriors are going to take full advantage of it, man.
Yeah, like
100%.
Not a Warriors fan by any means, but they're scary.
That's a good point, but I still don't have trust, or I don't have my full faith in the Warriors, you know, coming through. I think they're still going to flop.
I'll just say I feel like I have more faith in the Warriors than I do the Nets. I'll say that.
Yes.
Okay, maybe. We'll see.
So moving on to our last hot take. I think this is going to be a fun one. Here it is, October 30th. This is a Friday night. As early as now, we'll do early predictions on who comes out of the East and who comes out of the West for the 2021 NBA playoffs.
Okay.
Right? So let's do East Coast first, and then we'll move on to the West Coast. It doesn't have to be in any particular order. I know, okay, like my list is not in any particular order, but Nat, who are your top 8 teams to come out of the East?
Okay. So my list for the Eastern Conference top 8 teams next year: Boston, Toronto, Miami, Milwaukee, the Nets, obviously, hopefully number one. I guess Philly. Wizards, John Wall, possibly coming back. I need one more. Man, it's tough. You know what? Should I go Knicks because of Lawrence? I don't know. Nah, I'm playing. I'll do Pacers, Indiana.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, there we go.
Lawrence, who's your top 8 coming out of the East?
All right. Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Heat, Sixers, Nets, Wizards. And you guys are going to – this is the hot take. The Atlanta Hawks will make a playoff run next year.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Wait, just to clarify, did you mention the Wizards at all?
I did mention the Wizards.
You did.
With John Wall coming back.
So, and that, you included the Wizards as well, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay. But you also had the Raptors in there, right?
I did have the Raptors, yes. Because I'm in the north part of Jersey. I got to rip the north of Canada. Well, north, whatever it's called. All right, go ahead.
Okay, here's my hot take. In no particular order, I have Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, Indiana, Philly, Washington Wizards, and the Chicago Bulls.
Wow.
What?
What the?
What?
I'm sorry.
So you guys made faces when I said the Pacers, right? The Pacers get Sabonis back. You have Malcolm Brogdon. You still have Victor Oladipo. You have TJ Warren. He wants to walk, but they still have him. If they don't, they make a trade for him, which is only going to bolster their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You still have Miles Turner.
Right.
You still have Miles Turner.
Like
you have
seed.
George Hill. They're still going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like the top tier, but they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The other face that you guys made is when I said the Chicago Bulls.
Exactly.
The reason why I have the Chicago Bulls.
Sorry.
You have Lenny Markkanen, big man that can shoot threes. You have Zach LaVine. You have a second year Kobe White. You have.
Okay.
Wendell Carter.
Okay.
A lot of people are sleeping on Wendell Carter. This guy is going to be, I'm calling it right now, mark my words, October 30th, Friday night, 7:20 p.m. I honestly do believe that the Chicago Bulls sneak in. They're going to, think about it. Who's the bottom tier of the NBA playoffs this past season? You had the bottom two teams, bottom teams that were fighting for a playoff spot were the Magic, the Wizards, and the Nets.
Right.
Yep.
I don't think Magic are going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, no.
No.
So I think Chicago takes their spot. I think Chicago is a better team than the Orlando Magic. So they're my sleeper team coming out of the East. Okay, that's my sleeper team.
Okay.
Lawrence has the Hawks coming out of the East. That's his sleeper team.
Trae Young.
But we'll see what happens. So I have the Raptors out, but I have the Bulls in, basically. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, we'll revisit this in a couple months, you know, once the season resumes. Now let's move on to the West. Right? So we started with Nat. Lawrence, I'll start with you this time. Who are your top 8 teams coming out of the West?
All right. So Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets. All right, that's 4. This is the bottom half is always the tricky one. The Mavs, right? The Mavs. Do not sleep on the Trailblazers this year. I know they kind of suck this year, but they will not be an 8 seed. The Warriors, of course. And that's 7. The Jazz.
Okay.
Man, this is tougher than the Eastern Conference.
That's why I saved it for last.
Oh, man.
I don't want to hear no Zion out of you, man.
All right, wait. So all right. Am I next?
You're next.
So the 2 LA teams. So that's Lakers and Clippers. Denver, definitely. Portland, I would say. Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That's 5. I'm going to go Dallas because of Luka. I'm going to go OKC. That's tough. OKC. And I have 1 more, right?
1 more.
So my choices now, sensible choices left, are either the Spurs, the Suns, the Jazz, Memphis, or New Orleans, right?
And the Warriors.
You left out the Warriors.
No. I'm kidding. Oh, man. But then, the Jazz or the Warriors, though. All right, find the Warriors, I guess. Just pretty mainstream. I'll go Warriors. See, look, they were a forgotten thought to me. That's how bad I think of the Warriors. I didn't even think about them.
See, this is so interesting because I feel like our lists, they're so similar but so different. Okay, here's my top 8. Warriors, Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Mavericks, Rockets, and my sleeper team to come out of the West are the Phoenix Suns.
I like that.
I don't think New Orleans makes it. You have a new head coach. You're implementing a new system. They're going to put up crazy numbers. I don't think they're going to make the cut. Memphis, I feel like they're still a little bit too young. I feel like they're missing a couple pieces. I don't think they're going to make the cut either. Portland, I had a hard time keeping them off this list because you never know with Portland. I feel like you should never count them out. But I feel like this particular season, I just feel like they're so injury prone. As early as now, I feel like they don't make the cut. I think they're out. They're off.
Okay.
The Jazz, you're going to have Bogdanovich back. So that you know, helps your chances. I feel like the top of that list when, you know, Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, you know, Rockets, those were all teams that were in the top before.
Right.
The Warriors, like I said, I feel like they bounce back. I think they make a deep playoff run. The Suns are the most interesting to me, and I feel like they have the most potential. They ended the season on an 8-0 run, and they weren't even fully healthy.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
They weren't even fully healthy. That's the scary part. I think they did what really good teams do, namely the Warriors, the Miami Heat, and the Denver Nuggets. They built through the draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they made some trades that on the part of the other team was completely stupid, namely Kelly Oubre. You know, getting him from the Wizards, the rookie from last year, he's going to take it to a whole nother level. And of course, you have Devin Booker. You got D Book. I feel like on paper, this team is just too nasty. They believe in themselves. You know, I feel like Monty Williams has them believing in themselves. I feel like it's going to be a different Phoenix Suns team this year.
Yeah,
I think they make the cut. So, for everybody listening, these were our hottest takes. On who comes out of the East and the West.
It was quite hot. It was quite hot in here.
Clearly, we don't agree on everything. Got a little bit testy here and there. But honestly, I just can't wait for the season to resume. Whatever date they pick, I'm fine with. I just want NBA to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, any comments, concerns, suggestions? Nat, Lawrence?
I'm all good. I can't wait for next episode.
Lawrence?
Stop believing in those Nats, man. I said Nets. The Nets.
Oh, wait. Nats or Nets?
I said Nats, but I meant the Nets.
Okay. That's great.
So
that's great.
My last thing, I'm going to keep hyping it up. Any day now, we're going to have the discussion between or about who the GOAT is. So everybody stay tuned for that.
Do you need backup?
Outnumbered, man.
Don't worry. I have some cards up my sleeve. Don't worry about it.
All right. It's going to be interesting.
So until next time, everybody enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original, produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.